This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
Hi there, and welcome to BC This Week, a podcast of some of the best CBC radio from and around British Columbia. I'm Lee Rosevere. Well, thousands of containers full of consumer goods from Hong Kong have arrived. Earlier this week, Prince Rupert's first container ship docked at the Fairview Terminal, but not before the hulking ocean liner had to cut through some heavy wind and rain battling the north coast. Daybreak North's Carolina DeReich watched the massive container ship dock, and she told Russell Bowers all about it.
Tell me what it looks like.
It is quite something. It's a lot of activity that I'm watching. I'm seeing lots of men in high visibility orange suits moving around. I'm seeing the cranes lifting these massive containers onto rail lines. And standing around me actually is a group of men, businessmen, who all have tears in their eyes, literally, watching this sight.
Are you sure it wasn't just the rain?
It could be a bit to do with the high winds that we're standing in as well, but I get the sense that Mayor Pond is here, as well as some former stevedores, and this is a sight that they never thought possible, and here it is unfolding before their eyes.
Now, Carolina, do we know what's in the containers, or at least have we been told what's in them?
Well, I'll give you a sense of what I'm looking at. I can just make out that there's a large boat in the harbor. It's called the Costco Antwerp, and it's a rather large boat, but it's so stacked with containers. We're talking over 1,000 containers, that it's actually hard to see it. And from what I understand, it's all consumer goods in these containers. That means it could be shoes, could be clothes, could be iPods, but it's hard to say exactly what's in those containers.
Now, what about the cranes themselves? We talked about those giant cranes that have been moved into position on the dock. Are those in action now? Are we seeing those move around?
They most certainly are in action. I keep on seeing them lift up. There's a part almost like a pair of clamps, and they lift up, they spin out towards the boat, drop down, pick up yet another one of those huge 20-foot metal containers, and just do their business. It's quite something. This is no dress rehearsal. This is for real.
All right. Now, I understand you're there with Mayor Herb Pond, correct?
I am here with Mayor Herb Pond.
All right. Do you want to just hand over the phone to him, and we'll have a quick chat with him? Mayor
Absolutely.
Pond, of course, has been one of the people who have been out there beating the drum for the Fairview Terminal and making sure that people around the world know about it. Mayor Pond, good morning.
Good morning, Russell.
What's it like for you now to see the arrival of this first ship this morning?
Well, it's pretty spectacular. You know, there's a bit of a crowd up here, and we're all just reveling in it. You know, it's so much work from so many people, literally across the north, has resulted in this, and the wealth that this project is going to generate will go across the north. I mean, it's really exciting to see the container ship right here in Prince Rupert, but this is about the completion of a route that runs right across through all of our communities and really opens doors that just haven't been open to us for a long time.
The town itself obviously is undergoing a facelift even as we speak because of all the different people that have moved here, all the hiring that's been going on, not just for the port, of course, but for the new gaming center that's opened up.
Yep.
How much of this means that Prince Rupert is going to have to step up what it does internally?
Well, you're describing my life. The reality is that the community, because of financial situation, has lagged behind, and it's no secret. We have a lot of catch up to do in a whole lot of areas. Everything from housing stock to airport services to retail sector development and a whole lot of other things. You're seeing renewal in the telecommunications piece and new investment there. So. It all around, it's like building a community from scratch. There's a great foundation, but we need to step up to the plate for this whole project to be successful. In order for the corridor to succeed, the community of Prince Rupert has to really come to the plate so that this project can expand.
And as things move on now, what do you think the rest of this day is going to be like for you?
Well, I'm sure there'll be one or two media interviews, but in the main, Russell, it's really back to work. It's all of those things that we just talked about are very active files. We've been talking from the Premier's office down. There's been a new provincial person assigned here in Prince Rupert to make sure that the Northern Corridor succeeds. There's a tremendous amount of work on so many fronts. And as you say, I mean, the gaming center, whether people are for it or against it, I mean, you go into that restaurant area and you go into see the view and the service that's there, and that's really indicative of where we want to position ourselves. We want our housing stock to match that. We want our retail sector to match that. We want every piece of this community to come to that kind of, come to life like that.
All right, you have a good day. I'll have you hand the phone back to Carolina there. Have
She's
a great
right
day.
Here. Okay. Bye.
And that's Herb Pond, the mayor of Prince Rupert, and speaking to us from the Fairview Terminal. Carolina DeReich is there this morning. Carolina, let me ask you, when do you think we'll see the next ship come through the Fairview Terminal now?
Well, here in Prince Rupert, we have something that's called Cruise Ship Wednesday. It's about to be the same for container ships. We can expect another container ship to be coming over from Asia every Wednesday, unloading another 1,000 containers and sending that across the nation and down into the Midwest in the States.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see those container cars, too, those big yellow container cars that different communities across the north have seen already, see what those things look like once those containers are piled onto them.
That's right. Those will be heading out tomorrow morning at about 8 a.m. and making their way across the north to Prince George and then down to Vancouver.
All right, Caroline, we'll see you back here at the station later on. Thanks for your report this morning.
Thank you, Russell.
That was Daybreak's Carolina DeReich reporting on the first container ship docking at Fairview Terminal in Prince Rupert. And from port to pot, marijuana will be lighting up the conversation at Victoria City Hall. The city has been asked to proclaim November 15th as International Medical Marijuana Day. A committee will be making a preliminary decision about that, with a final decision to be made by the full council at a later date. And it got the crew at On the Island in Victoria wondering about the implications. Will it be okay to fire up a spliff at City Hall? Well, Michael Timchuk went to find out. First, he spoke with Victoria's acting mayor, Chris Coleman.
It's a recognition of something that is a national program for those with incurable illnesses and use medical marijuana as a way of dealing with the pain and suffering of that debilitating disease, whatever it is.
Now, is this the sort of proclamation that City Hall had in mind when it decided it would be making proclamations?
No, I don't think, because there's a long history of proclamations, and they started off with different initiatives that would see betterment of the streetscape of Victoria. And it's moved over the years into other things that have sometimes profound impacts for the citizens of Victoria and beyond. In this case, it's a national program that clearly is seen and used by some of the citizens of Victoria.
Now, what does it mean on November 15th? Does it mean that City Hall is encouraging people to light up?
No. This is a very strict application, and even in the title of the proclamation, it talks about the medical marijuana use.
There do seem to be mixed messages out there about the use of marijuana, legitimate medical, recreational, and then the police are out there enforcing. Sometimes they're told to crack down, other times they're laying back. What kind of message does this send?
I think it sends a message that the Canadian society is in a transition stage. We've been, since the Ledain Commission back in the 60s, we've talked about the legal process around marijuana, and I think that we are in a process that says there are some medical applications that are worthy, and we're still in that transition period where society is trying to figure out where it sits on this, and council has said this, the medical application, the medical use of marijuana, is something that we think is worthy. And we talk quite often in the streets of Victoria about harm reduction. Well, this is one where the actual application is described by some people as benign.
Will police be consulted or have a chance to comment on this proposed proclamation?
I believe in the process that came forward, it was vetted because we have a system at City Hall where people come and say, we'd like to do this. And I'm sure you're aware, we've had the final arbitration of any proclamation is the area for council to be involved. And we've pulled a number of proclamations and either changed the wording in some cases, or in a couple of cases denied the final say-so from the council.
So if city council votes yes on this one, they are making a statement that November 15th should be Medical Marijuana Day and that city council supports that.
Yes, that's quite right. And you'll notice in the proclamation, it refers to a number of other statements and letters from different councils of Victoria, one back in 2002, where we said, yes, this is a harm reduction strategy and the federal government of the day was going down the road to the use of medical marijuana. We endorse that.
And now that we have a federal government that's rethinking a lot of its drug strategies, What message are we sending to them now?
Well, they are rethinking or they are investigating that. We're not quite sure what they're going to come forward with. We may have some thoughts about where they are, but we think that this medical application is a legitimate one and they shouldn't change that.
And you are again?
Chris Coleman, and probably in trouble.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
It's Sergeant Grant Hamilton, Victoria Police Department.
Thursday, City Council will take its first look at a proclamation to declare November 15th International Medical Marijuana Day. What do you think as a police officer?
Well, I understand the reasons behind that. There are people there that require medical marijuana to ease some of the pain they're feeling through some sicknesses. Obviously, the federal government also agrees in that regard, and that's why they have legislation regulating the use of medical marijuana. I think it's important we realize that it is medical marijuana, it's not recreational marijuana, and I think that's what the city's recognizing by announcing this day tomorrow.
Is there a chance that this sort of proclamation could send out a mixed message?
Well, I think we're very clear that it's medical marijuana, and the federal government, as is the city and ourselves, have been very specific about what that means and what it's used for. There are some people that may want to interpret that differently, but as of the way the drug laws work now, marijuana is still illegal unless it's for medical use and you get approval from the federal government.
Now, there is a little bit of irony. The person who's putting this proclamation forward is Ted Smith. He's a well-known medical marijuana advocate who's actually been arrested and charged by Victoria Police.
Yeah, Mr. Smith, we have arrested him. I don't think anyone takes issue with his stance in regards to the use of medical marijuana. And we've also said that it's not medical marijuana that we're against. It's the fact of how he was distributed at the time and that he needs to go through the right channels and get the right approvals before he can start disseminating or using that medical marijuana.
So you got to go easy on people on November 15th?
Well, like I say, if they have the proper approvals and regulations from the federal government, then by all means.
And you are again?
It's Grant Hamilton, new sergeant here at Victoria Police Department.
Thank you very much.
Over the next month, you may notice a few more of the men in your lives growing a mustache. Alan Bedingfield visited the smooth-faced Rick Clough at the early edition to tell him all about Movember.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice stash.
Thanks very much. It's a couple weeks in the working here. So
that would be what, a Fu Manchu?
They call it the handlebar.
The handlebar?
Yeah.
Well, come on. Handlebar is supposed to be out here.
Well, you know, I think that's pretty 40s.
What is Movember?
Movember is the month formerly known as November. And what we have...
Formerly known.
Formerly okay. known. It's now Movember. And what we have is men all across Canada growing mustaches, or what we like to call mows. Basically to raise funds and awareness for prostate cancer. The pink ribbon is the iconic for breast cancer.
Yes.
So we're calling the hairy ribbon.
Why? The hairy ribbon. Why a mustache? Why not a ribbon or a bracelet or something like that?
I think the ribbon, the bracelet, it's been done. It's been done very well, and there's some very successful causes out there that are making that happen. This is something that men, prostate cancer is something that men don't like to talk about. Mm-hmm. Health issues that men have, they just don't like to talk about it. Men don't go to the doctor.
Because if you don't talk about it, it'll go away on its own.
Exactly. Men don't go to the doctor unless they're basically on fire. So what we're trying to create is something quite irreverent, something quite eclectic, as a catalyst for us to talk about those issues.
So exactly what do you have to do here?
Today's November 1st. And you shave today, shave everything off you have, and you grow a mo for the month of Movember. Go to Movember.com, sign up, and start talking to your friends and peers and have them donate some money.
Just going to say, it's to raise awareness, but also to raise money. So the proceeds will go where?
They go to the Prostate Cancer Research Foundation, based out of Toronto, and they basically fund research programs for prostate cancer across Canada. So it's staying in your own backyard.
So do you normally sport a mustache?
I don't. This is a lead up to it. Part of my job as spokesperson is to be a Mo mentor. So I grow one a couple weeks prior just to let all the people out there know what's going on. And then I shave it off today and I'll grow one again for
What kind of reaction have you had?
It's interesting. Walking down the street, guys that are sporting Mo's already, they kind of give you the nod. And some people cringe and other people love it. Lots of ladies love it out there, guys, so sport your mo.
You have a personal interest in this campaign as well.
Because absolutely.
Prostate cancer has hit your family.
My grandfather passed away from prostate cancer. Was not an easy ride for him, and it does really hit home. In fact, 1 in 8 men in their life will develop prostate cancer. So it is something that is very, very prevalent in society, and again, something that's just not talked about enough.
So what's your message for men out there who don't normally grow a mo?
Well, there's a couple tricks in order to grow a great mo. First of all, shave Movember first. Second of all, talk to your mo.
Talk to your mo.
let it know what you're up to. And third of all, the great foundation for every mo is drink milk. It's a great foundation for sporting a good mo.
Yeah, and soup. Things like that.
Make sure you have an extra Kleenex to wipe your mouth up with, too.
Yeah, it's because it's sometimes called a soup strainer or a cookie duster, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can think of a couple other things it's called, but we won't go there today.
No. What did you bring in with you? What did you get there?
I've got some swag here for you. We've got
some swag?
Some swag, absolutely. The iconic Republic of Movember beer cozy. It's mandatory for every Mo man out there. And some other things, some buttons and some fans for you.
All right. Well, if you want to help raise awareness and funds to fight prostate cancer, then you grow a mo, a mustache.
Absolutely.
All right. Good luck with it, Alan.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Alan Bedingfield is sporting a mustache this month to raise awareness for prostate cancer. He's also the spokesperson for the Movember campaign. And for more information or to sign up, go to Movember.com. And I've got a few of the free items that Alan mentioned right here. A Republic of Movember cozy for a beverage of your choice. And a set of Movember buttons. And guess what? I'm going to give them away. All you have to do is email me at bcpodcast@cbc.ca. And I'll give it to the fifth email I get. So the fifth person to write in at bcpodcast@cbc.ca. Put the word Movember or mustache or somewhere in there. And the cozy and buttons will go to you. The fifth email I get at bcpodcast@cbc.ca. And that wraps up this edition of BC This Week. Thanks for downloading us. I hope you do again next week. I'm Lee Rosevere.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.